Greetings, adventurers. I am a player this week, and my name is Michael DeMauro. My pronouns are he, him. With me this week, Tim Lanning.
Hey, everybody. It's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me. My pronouns are he, him.
Jennifer Cheek.
Hello, everyone. My pronouns are she, her.
Mike Bachman.
Hey, everybody. My pronouns are he, him, and I can't wait to get started.
Nika Howard.
Hey, guys. I am so happy to be here. My pronouns are she, her.
And special guest / game master, Pat Edwards.
My pronouns are he, him. Hello.
Guys, it's a Friday night.
It's a friggin' Friday night, Pat Whoa. Edwards. Why the heck are we here?
Yeah, what are we doing?
What are we doing?
Yeah, so we are here because of our good friends at Eldritch Foundry, one of the best custom mini design engines out there. You can design your own minis, have them 3D printed and shipped to you. They also like to create stories and content around their minis, and they reached out through a good friend of mine, Katie, who is their head of marketing, and they wanted a winter holiday themed adventure that could showcase some of their mini designs that they put together. I asked if I would be interested in writing that for them, so they hired me to write that. I did. It got a little bigger than we anticipated. I just couldn't stop myself. So we're here today to play a heavily modified version of the short adventure I wrote called How We Saved the Grateful Gathering. And I'm going to go ahead and drop a link. They got it all rendered with artwork and layout, and it's digital PDF, and you can get it for free.
Amazing.
At the link I just dropped in chat. So if you just go to eldritchfoundry.com/grateful gathering, you can download the whole adventure for free. We are going to do a modified version of that tonight.
So cool.
Made to kind of fit in with your characters that you're playing in the Greetings Adventurers campaign, and make sure we can get it done in one night. As I mentioned, I went a little bit over the top with it. The whole adventure itself at home, you could turn it into like a 5-6 session mini campaign. There's enough content in there.
That would be so fun and cute to like have a little holiday campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the season.
And you go to Eldritch Foundry, and then if you use the promo code at checkout, Geekly10,
yes,
you get 10% off your very first order, and I think we get a kissy on that on the back end. So
we do.
Free adventure, free custom designs.
Sweet.
Heck yeah.
Go around there, poke around there, and get yourself some nice Geekly10.
And if you're listening to this in the spring, for whatever reason, go ahead and try it, because they told me it's going to be up indefinitely, that code. So
hell yeah.
Well, you'll have it for next time.
Yeah.
For next year.
Yeah, let's go ahead and jump in. Last time, we all saw Screech, Rourke, Celine, and Chuck. They had just met up with the Big Top Traveling Circus and Magnificent Menagerie.
That is accurate.
They met the Ringmaster, Barnabas Rumbletoes.
Mm-hmm. Accurate.
Things aren't going great, I believe. There's some chaos happening, some fires, the menagerie, the animals are loose. So we're going to open up on that scene. The chaos unfolding, our heroes not sure what to do with it.
Michael, is that allowed? Is that okay?
I'm making a Home Alone face.
However, before Screech, Rourke, Celine, and Chuck can essentially do anything, they are approached by a curious individual. Michael, do you want to describe this individual?
Yeah, he's wearing wizard-looking robes, like really over-the-top ones with like a big wizard hat with like stars and moons and stuff on it. He has a nimble gait, let's say. Maybe not someone who seems as they've been hunched over books their entire life, but he's, you know, on the younger side. He does have a scraggly beard and such. You think he's maybe a half elf?
Okay.
Why'd you say it is if you just made that decision right then and there?
No, he's a half elf. But you're thinking maybe he's a half elf. You don't want to make assumptions. And I think, isn't he holding a snow globe?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
And he goes, the magicians won't leave their trailer. We have to deal with this first, before any other stuff. This first.
Okay. Who are you? What's happening?
Before the fire? Okay.
This is bigger. This is so much bigger.
Wow.
Whoa.
It sounds like maybe you, I can help you.
The jokester gave us this, this... snow globe, I think.
All right, and you want us to go deal with this magic snow globe thingy. I mean, if the jokes are anything to do with it, I don't love that.
As the weird dude in the very stereotypical wizard garb is ranting and raving about this snow globe, his thumb kind of grazes this little switch on it, and there is a flash of blinding white light that encompasses your vision, a complete whiteout.
What the hell?
And the next thing you know, you are falling, all of you. Only for 2-3 seconds. It's really, really fast. And then there is a thump as the five of you land in the back of a wagon that is bumping and rustling and speeding along. And you hear shouting and growling.
What the fuck?
And one of the first things you notice is it's cold. You feel very cold.
I want to grab this asshole wizard by the throat. Like, what did you do to us, you son of a bitch?
He grabs you at the same time and he goes, what did you do to me, you son of a bitch?
You did it. No, you did it, you son of a bitch.
We weren't here until you guys were here.
Screech grabs the snow globe. He's like, what did this do to us?
Who the fuck are you? And you look, and at the front of the wagon is a young halfling woman with a little dog curled up. And you see that the wagon is this very large sort of cargo wagon. It's being pulled by a creature that looks like a giant bison that is stark white. Its hide and fur, pure white. And you are hauling ass across this flat plain of snow. She goes, who the fuck are you?
We.
Who the fuck are you? What is happening?
Who the fuck am I? This is my fucking wagon. I'm Poppy Wonderkin. I'm the mail carrier and I'm running from them.
Well, we're here to take care of them. Perfect timing.
Wait, who's them?
As Rourke says that, you hear growling.
Poppy might be a thief. Poppy, are you a thief?
No, I'm not a fucking thief. I'm a mail carrier. Who the fuck? Where'd you come from? You hear this snarling and growling from behind where the wagon was going.
But is the wagon traveling at a pretty good speed? Or are we like...
Pretty fast, yeah.
Ooh.
Like, I would say like 25 miles an hour.
Whoa!
Is there anything on the wagon?
Yes, there are large, huge burlap sacks.
Perfect. Amazing.
Tied off. One of them's kind of half open and you see like gift wrap presents.
Aww. If we look out behind the wagon, can we see the thing that's snarling running after us?
Absolutely. You see about four creatures sort of loping after you, and they basically look like, I want you to picture silverback gorillas that are completely white, but with the heads of wolves.
That's terrifying.
That's sick.
And they are loping after the wagon, snarling.
Take the bags and throw them. And Rourke grabs the bag and starts throwing it.
No, that's mail fraud. I taught you better than that.
Don't fucking do that. No. We need those. We need those for the gathering.
Quit, Rourke. No, bad.
Okay.
Oh, this would be a perfect time for a fireball. I think that the first time no one on our side has been in danger when a fireball is cast.
If you have some fucking magic, you better fucking use it.
You got
it. We don't have magic. That's illegal.
Just turn around. Don't look back here, okay?
Who is this guy and why
the fuck you talk about magic not illegal? You fucking nonce.
We'll get back to that in a second, but, can I blast him?
Shoot her!
You're
my clever girl.
That's right. So this is a dex save, Pat.
Okay.
It's a fireball, so there's a 20-foot radius. I think it probably gets all of them, is my guess.
Yes. Celine rears back, conjures this 20-foot radius burst of fire. It erupts. It instantly, vaporizes a bunch of snow on the ground. There's steam. These creatures that are called primal hounds, they yelp and cry out in pain, and then there's whimpers. And like that, they turn and scatter and head back toward. You can see behind you is a thick, massive forest that you seem to be traveling away from, and they're heading back toward it. Primal hounds are not overly malicious creatures, are just predators. They were looking for an easy meal. They don't want to work too hard. And a burst of fire is plenty enough to deter them, think this is not worth it.
Nice job, Celine.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So with Celine unleashing that burst of fire and scaring off the creatures, Poppy kind of pulls on the reins and the creature, it's called a Rhymehide. It's this big, giant, stark white buffalo type creature, kind of slows to a very small, very slow, leisurely trot, and she kind of whips around, and you actually notice,
are there bells on this thing?
A few bells. Yes. A few. You actually notice she's not like in great shape. She actually has a gash like above one eye. Poppy does, and she goes, she's like, okay, that was great, now who the fuck are you?
Okay, so we did not intend to show up here, and I am starting to gather. You said something about magic not being illegal here?
No, why would we? I mean, we don't get much of it, but those who do are revered, and it's great. Who would not allow magic?
Apparently, saying swears is legal here, because she sure likes to say a lot of swears.
Yeah, I get it out when I'm outside of town. They like some decorum in town, so I kind of get it out of my system when
fuck
I'm
it,
on.
Fuck it, is what I say, baby girl.
Yeah, fuck yeah, right. Fuck it,
man. Who knows?
But again, you're okay. Hold on, because you're blowing my fucking mind here. Are you saying
this jack off made us teleport here with that snow globe, I assume.
I thought it was you who made me teleport here.
We would never do that.
I don't know you.
You're the one with I assume it's a magic item.
You saying you teleported here?
Yeah.
Can I push the switch on this snow globe?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I do that. Because I assume I'm still holding it.
Yeah, you go back, and that's the stream, everyone. Have a good night.
Adventure over. Boom. I told you we'd figure it out.
Take that.
We're so good at this.
Screech, you mess with it, and you flick it. I know, Screech, you're a master of messing with gadgets and things, but it does nothing.
I'm a master of getting viruses on my mom's computer.
and she's like, wait, did you just fucking say you teleported here?
Or something.
That's not possible. No one's come or gone out of Winter's Mercy in centuries.
Oh, this is like a fucking Narnia situation, gang.
So you don't know where you are?
No. The last time... Let me be real with you. The last place we were at was a circus and it was on fire. And now we showed up here.
I feel like this is the exact opposite of an on-fire circus.
Did you guys cause that fire at the circus, too?
No, you know we didn't!
Oh, my God! We were trying to help!
What's your name, you fuckface?
Oh, you don't even know this one.
I don't know who this is.
My name's Enwin Santabar. What's your fucking name?
I'm Chuck.
I'm Screech.
Why are you wearing a dog costume?
I pulled the mask down. I mean, I'm Beholder Doodle.
Oh, that makes sense.
I'm Celine, magic user, since I can just say that here.
Is there something wrong with your scalp? It looks kind of scabby.
My scalp?
Yeah.
You can't see that. Shh. It's fine. And Celine puts a hood up over her head.
She looks great, okay? She just changed her hairstyle.
I mean, look, the hair looks great.
Who are you anyway?
I'm Enwin Santabar. I'm the head magician of the Big Top magical menagerie or whatever.
Okay, so you're the head magician of the menagerie, and I should be listening to you. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, do you think it was easy for me to climb the ranks?
In a society that doesn't allow magic, I'm curious how you did it. But maybe we should save that for a canon episode. Because I'm getting kind of sidetracked.
We're just going to, like, argue for several hours.
I'm into it.
Just yell at each other.
Sorry, Poppy. You're on the way to, like, the gathering of the jugglers?
I just need you to understand. I'm going to try and put this in perspective. This is called Winter's Mercy. It's a kind of a large region that is completely encased in a magical dome of ice. And nary a soul has been able to come or go from the dome in nigh a millennia.
Well, nice job, Santabar. You put us in a...
And teleportation magic not supposed to work here.
Wait, it's inside of a globe?
Oh, come on.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
Show her the snow globe.
What's your world called? Because you're not from the world of Ood. Are you familiar?
Ood?
What the fuck's an Ood?
Ood, it's our world we live in. Ood, it's outside the dome.
Ood? Ood is the name of the world?
Ood.
It seems lazy.
Okay, I don't want to go into it too much. Basically, the world outside the dome is shite. Right? It's shite. It's mostly consumed by the waste.
That's where my house is. You watch it.
I mean, I don't know if I can really argue with you there.
Oh, that's true. It is kind of shitty. We don't know where we are.
You're from the wastelands? Because it's a pure waste outside the dome.
Ugh. I don't think we are. I don't think we freaking are.
And it was unleashed by a vengeful god. And the people of this area used to have a demigod called the Ice Knight that would protect them. The Ice Knight sacrificed themselves.
Like Ice Spice?
None of this shit makes any sense. I haven't heard of any of this.
Okay.
This artifact must have just, like, teleported us here. Does, the whatever's inside of this snow globe, does that look familiar to you? Is there a third world inside it now?
Oh, no!
I would say the snow globe, for whatever reason, just is, like, a nice, like, quaint, like, cabin with trees. It doesn't look like a region or anything.
Do you recognize this?
If I smash the snow globe, will it smash the real ice dome?
Oh my god, don't do that. We'll die.
It does feel like either we'll die or we will not be able to get back from where we were.
I don't know. Switch doesn't do anything.
No, okay.
Do you have somewhere... Where are you going? Because I'm cold.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to eat? Do you have games on your phone?
Yeah, she tosses you some honey bark root, it's called. It's like some dried... root to chew on. It's good. It's got a little sweet, kind of sweet and bitter. And
does it have tree nuts?
So basically, she explains to you, you're in this region called Winter's Mercy. Winter's Mercy is a couple thousand square miles, completely encased in this magical dome of ice. Basically, the outside world, as far as they know, the rest of it is completely consumed by this desolate waste that was unleashed by a god. There was a demigod called the Ice Knight who was defender of this region of the world, who couldn't push back the waste, except they basically sacrificed themselves, unleashing this burst of energy that froze the waste, created the dome. For almost a millennia, the people of Winter's Mercy have lived in relative peace. You know, little minor incidents here and there over the centuries, but nothing crazy.
But they can't leave.
No, you can't get in and out. No one's ever come in and out. No magic crosses through the dome. Like There are four major towns in Winter's Mercy. Most of the center is taken up by a frozen lake called Glacier Plains that's just desolate. And so there's four towns around this ring. And every year they have a holiday. And it's the eve of this holiday called the Grateful Gathering that takes place over the course of a week where they travel around to the four towns and celebrate in each town. She's on her way with a bunch of delivery of gifts and presents to the quaint, serene village of Hazel Bluff, where the first day of celebrating is supposed to commence.
Is the ice dome, like, how clear is that ice?
It's kind of cloudy.
Okay, so you can't see shit outside?
I mean, especially it where you are, because you're closer to, you can see actually the edge of the frozen lake to the east, what would be the east, to your left, and it's kind of hard to see. It's kind of like toward the horizon, and it's just like kind of this like whiteness, this like white blanket, because it goes up very, very high too, though, the dome.
Well, that's peculiar.
You got no fucking idea how peculiar. Like, this literally never happened in recorded history. Also, weird shite has been happening all around the preparations for the holiday. Stuff's gone missing. Mm. Some people think it's bandits. Some people think it's mythical, made-up villains from children's fairy tales. I'm missing two of my colleagues. They're back in the woods. I'm afraid something's happened to them.
Well, maybe it's connected. Whatever has allowed us to enter in here is maybe it's wreaking havoc here on you know.
We was going through the pass in the Gingerwood, and like snow and ice started raining down on us. That's how I got this gash.
Oh,
gosh.
Now watch out for those icicles.
And I just booked it, and the hounds then chased me after I'd gotten out of the woods. So I thought, fucking hell, I swear, I don't believe in fairy tales, but
you're
like,
in one.
The kids are saying it's Baron Coldbones who's come back to ruin the holiday, but I don't believe he exists.
I think he's probably up to his old antics, I would say.
Okay.
I'm also 47% sure we're dreaming, so I think we can just, like, go hog wild here.
You know, I wouldn't be so sure about that. Weird things happen with magic, so mostly I'm just saying that so you don't go try to, like, jump off a cliff or something because you think you can fly.
Right,
like,
right.
I wouldn't assume that.
Okay.
So we're abandoning your friends? They're dead?
Where? No, I mean, I was going to get to town and then maybe send some people out to find them. But I got to get these packages, too. It's like...
Well, yeah, I mean, the packages are definitely more important than your friends.
I feel like you're taking the piss out of me for not being more brave. I'm a mail carrier, not a hero, I'm not a warrior.
Okay, you give us the wagon, we'll deliver the presents, and you go out into the woods and get your friends back.
Okay, so you can take all the credit for doing my job, and I go die.
I mean...
Does anyone know you're out here?
He draws a knife. Does anyone know you're here?
Sugar Plum growls at you.
Well, Michael has a great point. Let's steal all of these presents and join Baron Bones and...
Baron Coal Bones?
Well, now I'm done with them.
What? You guys have turned evil when you got here.
There's got to be somebody who can fix... I think we got to find somebody to fix the globe, too.
I mean, I don't think we really want the dome to come down because then the wastes will encroach and consume us all.
We just want to leave. We don't care about your place.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I really could not. There are so many problems in our own world that, like, to be honest with you.
But here's the thing. Do we know that if we take down this dome, the outside is our world? I'm not sure. This might be a different dimension entirely.
Yeah, I feel like we're in the dream dimension. This is a dream.
Don't assume it's a dream.
Y'all got any orphans here?
I don't think it's a dream. Because I got like, I'm a real person.
Yeah, I think this is more of a dimensional situation. Mm. So I just, you know, before we decide, if we knew for sure it would get us back to our world, take down the dome. Fuck this dome. But we don't know. So I'm just saying, let's gather a little more information first. And
okay.
Bobby, what I was saying before these chuckle fucks here were talking nonsense is that you're very lucky because we're a quite skilled group here. And if anyone can find your friends, I think we can do that.
You guys are a skilled group?
Oh, yeah, we're pretty skilled.
Yeah,
Santana.
I vanish. I stealth and I vanish.
Magic, that's great. We wish we had more. We only have a couple of magic users. So that's useful.
Inman, I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but did you not just see me shoot a fireball at those creatures
and
they ran away yelping and smoking? So just if you wanted to get fresh, maybe think about it first. If you wanted to act like you're a big dog here, maybe think about it first.
Get him, yard dog. To clarify, do you want us to save your friends or get to town and see what other weird shit's happening?
I think we should get to town and then talk to the mayors and tell them what's happening, and then, we can figure it out.
Yeah, your friends are probably dead.
Oh, cool. Thank you. You're a lovely one.
We probably were leading those dog things away, and then once Celine saved us, they're like, well, time to go eat all the people. Mm-hmm. You killed them, Celine.
Well, I saved you, so you're welcome.
They wouldn't have bit me.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You actually see rooftops kind of come into view. What's really interesting, so you see a very idyllic, very stereotypical, quaint town kind of nestled in some very low rolling hills. Some smoke is rising from chimneys. What is not so stereotypical or expected is the veritable sea of covered wagons and similar creatures to these Rhymehides spread out around it encamped, as if many, many people from around other towns have come here to celebrate for the first day of the Grateful Gathering.
There's going to be no room at the inn.
Hi, I think we'll try and figure something out with you. I think just giving you a heads up, the mayors and the mages council are going to want to talk to you. Because, again, I cannot stress it enough. Nobody has come or gone through the dome like ever. It's a big deal.
So we're probably going to peacock pretty hard. So that actually works for all of us.
Well, and then, you know, maybe they'll have a little more info on how things work. And maybe together we can figure out how to get out of here eventually.
Yeah.
Wow. Did not think this is where this day was going.
I didn't have that on my bingo card. And sorry that I attacked you, Santagar.
Santabar.
I was stressed out, and I want to say I think you're pretty cool, and I don't know you, but I feel like having you in this dream dimension with us is going to be super helpful. So thank you.
Oh, hey, no problem. Is it Charles?
You watch yourself. It's Chuck, all right? Come on.
Sorry, Chuck. Yeah, nice to be here.
As you pull into town, a huge wave of people rushes toward you.
Ah!
The mail had been expected a while ago. This is a big deal for them, not only because of the holiday, because like stuff doesn't really go wrong in Winter's Mercy. Out front, you see a tall, late middle-aged orcish man with a kind of a belly running. You see looks like an automaton creature, a creature made of like wood fibers and metal coming up. You see a half-elven woman in very fine clothes, very nice, incredibly exquisitely tailored winter overcoat leading the pack. You see a humanoid with like wizard's robes and a staff, but their head looks like a reindeer with antlers. And they're standing upright.
But they got human hands?
They got human hands, yeah. They got fingies and thumbs and holding a staff.
How tall are they?
The reindeer fellow is 6 feet tall, yeah.
Oh my god!
How big are his antlers?
It's a solid like 10 points too. Like there's like a 10-point buck.
Wow.
Is that included in his 6 feet?
His head is 6 feet. The antlers probably give him another two.
Should we just hand out all of these gifts?
So they rush up, and at first, the orcish man, the large orcish man, is the first to get there.
Poppy, I'm so glad you're all right. This is... Oh, but... And he sees you all. What the hell?
And she's like, I'll explain. It's really fucking weird. Do you want to take these? So they kind of have some people take the packages, take the bags, And you all are getting weird looks from a lot of the townspeople, kind of just staring down. Like, and you're seeing a pretty varied group. You're seeing humans, elves, dwarves, halflings. You're seeing quite a few of these humanoids with like the deer or elk-like face heads with antlers. And they're all wearing like nice, well-made, just kind of winter clothes, like coats and sweaters and boots and stuff. And so, yeah. And what do they see?
So I'm playing Chuck. He's a hobgoblin who's quite tall, big belly, big shoulders, long salt and pepper hair, orange skin. And he has on plate mail with a kind of green doublet sort of over it. And he has like a shield and a mace that looks like a very plant-based at his side. And he's a cleric.
As was alluded to rudely earlier in this episode, Selena's had a bit of a hair change that had to happen in a closet at the Goblin Pit 2. Her hair is blonde now. And she's just like wearing like pretty like basic. She's actually wearing pants though.
Whoa.
And like a cloak, just like normal. Like pretty like low-key.
Rourke is wearing the boots they normally wear and some ripped up tights. So they were not expecting to go on a winter adventure. Some striped tights. Striped, as some people say. And then some shorts and, I don't know, a ye old band. I think we talked about a band. Oh my god.
Well, what's the
Kid Rock.
The freaking festival that you would go to?
Yeah, the big
I forget what it's called.
Circus Palooza was what we were talking about last episode.
Why did my brain immediately supply it with Barfapalooza?
That's what it is now. Barfapalooza. Summerfest. And Rourke has little arm cuffs on because that's what you had. And then is a bard.
Well, I forgot to say I'm a sorcerer.
You never get a good look at Screech because Screech is pretty stealthy. He's always just out of your line of sight. But if you do, you'd see he's dressed as a dog and he has eyes like a dog, but like with extra eye stalks like a beholder would have. And also somehow since we've gotten here and are now in the snow, he's wearing one of those little barrels around his neck with the healthcare symbol on it and a little like spout coming out of it.
Perfect.
I'm in rescue mode.
I'm gonna throw myself in the snow. I'm loving it.
Like, I need help.
I'm in the fucking Paw Patrol.
Just a reminder, Enwin is a half elf who's got scraggly beard and is wearing ridiculous wizard robes.
Hell yeah.
What color is his beard?
It's like brownish.
Okay, good to know.
Cool.
So Poppy grabs a couple of these people and pulls them over. You see that there's like hushed whispers and this and that, and she's like pointing at you and hands going. It's obviously explaining, and she's kind of giving him a download of what happened. You see a very like strapping one of these again deer-headed humanoid creatures with like a long bow and a blade, sternly telling people to kind of go back about their business, kind of give space. And then you all are approached just hanging out, kind of leaning on the wagon, by Poppy, the orcish man. Looks like an automaton, half-elf woman in fine silk garb, the deer-headed man, and they introduce themselves, and we'll go around, and the first one, the orcish man, this is Kaz Barleycorn. He is the mayor of Hazel Bluff, the town you're in, and two of them are also mayors of some of the other towns. The automaton, also known as a wargast, is named Shelter. They are the mayor of Embervale, which is the largest town in Winter's Mercy. It's about a day's trip south of Hazel Bluff, where you are. The half-elf woman in the fine overcoat is named Josephine Bloom. And Josephine is the mayor of the second largest town, which is clear across the frozen lake called Shiver Hill. And then the other one is Cedric Sunborn, and they're ancestry, they're type of people that are called Elkin, and Cedric Sunborn is a representative of the Mages Council for Winter's Mercy.
And is these people the Elkin? Are they the deer people?
Yep. And just Poppy would have explained too, the fourth town that's not currently represented is the smallest town. It's called Frost Hollow. Their mayor is an elderly goblin woman, and she just didn't feel like making the trip.
I feel that.
Hail and well met, governors. Governor.
And so Kaz kind of
So, I was a little conflicted here because Poppy, our delightful male, you know, postmaster general here, says you saved her. So, kudos. Thank you. She says you fell out of nothing, just fell out of nowhere. And you're not from here.
Yeah, so maybe it would be helpful if we give our side of what happened beforehand, and maybe Poppy can kind of tell what she saw, and then you can give us some sort of information on what the deal is here, so that we can brainstorm, you know. Well, I was going to say brainstorm how to leave, but also just, you know, it seems like maybe something's going on right now. Poppy mentioned that some things have been amiss recently.
And no offense, we don't want to be here.
Well, we're not. This is not our home. You know?
The Josephine, she's like, yes. So, we should see about maybe getting you home.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's... I mean, so do you know how you arrived? Because, I mean, it hasn't happened.
Do you have a snow globe repair shop?
You know, we do. We've got 3 in each town, actually. We love snow globes. We're lousy with them here, but magical ones that transport you to other worlds, not really our bailiwick.
What's a bailiwick?
Oh, is he fucking with us? I can't tell.
No. Literally, no. Not a soul has come in or out of the Ice Dome in 1,000 years, so...
Well, then maybe you should be a little nicer to us. Sounds like we should be guests of honor. We should have big dinner and things of that nature.
The automaton is like, I would like to speak with them further and assess whether they are a threat or danger to our citizens. What is your purpose?
To go home.
We just magically ended up here. No offense, but, we want to get out of here.
Do you wish us harm?
No.
Hmm.
Unless you stand in our goddamn way. I'm kidding. But still, really, yeah.
Fireball!
And Cedric, the Elkin man's kind of assessing you, and he's like, I sense magic on him.
Not on me.
Yeah, you might say we're a little magical as a group.
Not this guy, though.
You guys are, really magical, though?
Did you not... Once again, did you not see me cast Fireball?
I didn't realize you did that.
Who did you think did it?
It could have been a coincidence.
We just teleported. I don't...
Well, it was me. I said, I'm going to take care of this, and then I cast a Fireball. So next time, keep your eye on it.
Santa Bar, be cool when we get back, by the way. We're part of the Carney Code now, so be cool.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
That's all I needed to hear. Yeah, we're magic. The dog one's not, but he more than makes up with it for things that you would swear to fucking God were magic.
Yeah, he's pretty skilled, honestly.
I disappear.
Where the fuck is he?
Josephine, she's like, oh, is that not... That's not your pet.
I mean, he's clearly a guy with a fucking mask on. Come on, Jesus Christ.
What you just did...
If you want to know, let me hold a mirror up to your face. Is if I asked the elk in here, does he want a cracker? Well, probably not a cracker, right? That's a parrot.
Probably like a sugar cube?
Hey, you want to look at this salt?
You do like some corn?
That's what you just did.
Some dried corn?
I wouldn't do that.
I mean, I do have a bit of a sweet tooth, so I'd take it. I would absolutely take it.
Well, let's get out of the cold, get some beers. You tell us what's going on. Poppy mentioned something weird's going on, and I bet the weird shit has to do with us. I've decided that we're not in a dream, but I think this is probably a surprise birthday party for me.
Wait, Poppy, where are the other carriers?
And she explains, this weird hail of, snow and ice that rained down on them when they're going through the Gingerwood Pass. She's like, I don't know what happened to them. They might still be out there. It's like, okay.
I think she left them for dead.
He calls over. I mentioned that strapping stalwart Elkin young man before, kind of talks to him. And that is Valen Quickstep. He's what's known as a forest warden. And Valen, and you see Valen gather some other folks. And one of them you see is a goblin man who kind of gives you all kind of a weird twinkling stare as he goes. And he's also has these traveler's clothes on. He's Celine. You definitely get kind of magical vibes from him.
That guy just give us a fucking twinkling stare.
They mount up on some rhyme hides and they head off the way you all came. And Kaz,
Valen, they'll check it out. Let's get you. I mean, You don't know anything about this place. You say you're not from here, so I don't want to send you back out there. You'll get fucking lost. Let's get a whiskey.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
strange times, I swear. It makes me want to believe in the old stories. I swear, you know, we're trying to just have our holiday.
Old stories? tell us some of the old stories.
This one.
Please, sir.
He's pulling my leg. I like his one. Yeah, no, a bunch of the more stare. I'm sure it's just some ne'er-do-wells causing trouble, but some of the more superstitious lot, they think it's old Cold Bones coming back to haunt the Grateful Gathering, but...
That's the second time we've heard old Cold Bones being mentioned, so...
Yeah, what's his deal exactly?
It's just a story they tell kids to scare them into behaving. Mm.
And what exactly is it that old Cold Bones does?
Yeah, what's his vibe?
Like, what's he known for?
Oh, it was a legendary. So the Ice Knight was very much a real person. He saved us. They saved us all. They, you know, sacrificed. We still have their armor from 1,000 years ago. And
can I have it?
Old Claude over there is going to wear it at the ceremony tomorrow and hand out presents to the kids. Thanks to you all for bringing the presents.
You're welcome.
But Cold Bones was like a mythical antagonist villain who would like to just ruin fun and wanted to blanket the whole world in desolate snow and ice.
Sounds cool.
Well, and did he do that here? Because you guys do, yeah, there doesn't be a lot of snow here, and from what I understand, you are trapped inside.
Yeah, I can't help but notice.
I mean, yeah, no, it is snow here, like, all year round, but, like, we get some, it's not bad, because, like, the ice of the dome almost refracts the sunlight, so we can still grow crops in the greenhouses, and...
Like Winterfell.
You know, just have a warm coat.
But you can't leave here.
No.
Well, why would you want to? I mean...
I think it's paradise. Hazel Bluff, quaint, lovely hamlet, you know, we got everything we need. We got a thriving population across the four towns, some 100,000 or so.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
Once in a while, you get some creatures coming out of the deep woods and they have caused trouble, and you know, but otherwise, we're pretty peaceful. No wars or nothing. We're trying to remember this happened to the Ice Knight sacrifice, but you know, y'all saved the day. It would have been a sad morning tomorrow if none of these packages got here.
So, sorry, what was that about the Ice Knight sacrifice just then?
Yeah, so, like, the outside world around us, absolute garbage. Fucking hell. It's, there's this god, Yggdrasil or something. She unleashed this rolling thing called the Waste that consumed everything and just turned the world to shit. And, the Ice Knight was a demigod that was kind of beholden to our area, our region. And they sacrificed themselves and kind of used their godly energy to create this protective dome that keeps the Waste away.
Okay. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, so we remember their sacrifice every year with a little week-long holiday called the Grateful Gathering.
Hell yeah. Maybe we should just live here, guys. Fuck that other stuff we're doing.
Actually, yeah. Now, let's speak on that, because what really is there back home? I mean, Milton, I'd miss Milton a little bit.
Well, my family's all there, and it does seem like there's maybe, like, war starting, and, you know...
Wait, there's a war starting?
Well, there's something is going on. That's what our sources tell us.
War is very bad for the circus trade, but sometimes it's really good.
I kind of feel like it might be good for the circus trade,
yeah, sometimes
actually.
It's really good.
Because then you can just, like, follow the camps and just, like, put on a circus for the moment.
Yeah.
You guys got any mines you're looking for owners?
No. It's a weird question. This one right here.
Well, we need to get warmer clothes. We need a big mug of ale, probably.
Yes, absolutely. I can detect that you are all in danger of hypothermia. We shall get you some warm coats immediately, post-haste.
Thank you.
I got pretty long fur, so I'm okay.
Well, guys, let's maybe take the offering of hospitality,
okay? Yeah, take
okay?
free
it's,
stuff.
It's there's snow here, so just... Let's not turn things down.
Can Scrooge get some of those little dog boots? And then he starts walking like all funny. He hates it.
He can't get salt on his paws.
You were brought in and you're taken to like a tavern to warm up. And you can give us some warm clothes. They introduce you to another man whose name is Claude DeMille. And he comes over, he brings a tray, and he is this tall, broad-shouldered human man with great jawline, big smile. Claude owns a series of taverns in each of the towns. He holds court everywhere he goes, super charismatic, always kind of the center of attention of a party. And Claude was elected this year's honorary Ice Knight. Every year, someone dons the Ice Knight's armor and hands out presents to the kids on the celebration days. I mean, this is actually Claude's third year in a row being elected.
Congrats.
For the honor.
Third year in a row, that's a little... I'm not saying this out loud, but that's a little suspicious. It feels rigged at this point.
How'd you pull that off?
But it's one of those you can tell. He succeeds in a lot of cases. A lot of people take him at face value. He's trying so hard to be as likable as possible to everyone.
Well, thank you for your hospitality. You guys are great. And it's been sort of implied, if not explicitly stated, but we're pretty strong. Pretty big deal back where we come from. So if you have any specific issues... we'll be able to solve it. What with violence and explosions?
So it was about midday when you all landed. The town's pretty bursting as far as rooms for rent. And that's why most people travel in these, they call them hearth wagons. They're like these big covered wagons that it's almost like a traveling, like living room. Essentially, it's very warm and cozy inside. And, but they set you up and they find some accommodations. But before everyone kind of beds down, there's kind of another rustling, kind of another ruckus at the entrance to the town. And Valen Quickstep and his party return with the missing wagons and two postal carriers who are frozen solid in blocks of ice.
Whoa.
Is that normal? Or
you all witness that goblin man with the beard, Thagmir. He is assessing and he's kind of touching, rubbing his hands. And he looks over at Enwin and Celine and kind of beckons them over. It's like, I sent some magic on y'all. How you doing? I'm Thagmir Greeneye, mage here, one of the few mages council members. I would love your assistance here. We need to kind of do some thawing, but also like heal them simultaneously. Y'all got a touch of magic to you.
I have great magic to me. And then I pull a quarter out from behind his ear.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking more of like the like heat to the thawm and also healing magics. So
Celine is good at one thing only, and that's murdering people.
Yeah, I do. I want to help you. I absolutely do want to help you. Number one, I can't heal. That's not my thing. But our friend Rourke, she can heal.
Oh, great.
Now... as far as melting ice, I can do that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Put it between my thighs.
Okay. Well, Rourke kind of waves. I'm like, all right. So, y'all, you can do some healing?
Yeah, that is what I do.
She loves it.
Why'd you say it that way? You're about to save someone's life.
I can help you out with that, too. I want y'all to, melt it. And then you and me, we're going to, be quick. On the healing, we gotta kind of do this kind of simultaneously, or they're gonna die quick.
So first, I was thinking about once again casting my fireball on them, which might not be great because it might burn them. But I remembered I do have wall of fire, so I can maybe set the wall of fire around it.
Yeah, there
so
you
that
go.
The fire melts it.
Oh, I like that.
Like an Encino Man.
Yeah.
I like that.
So with that, would you like me to do that? I can do that.
That would be great. You ready to roar? He says, "You ready?"
Yeah.
All right. This is great. Let's do it. Love new friends.
Okay, I cast a wall of fire around the two frozen individuals.
Jesus fuck.
It melts. It melts really fast, these blocks of ice.
I mean, it's a 1 foot thick, 20 foot tall wall of fire.
Thagmir was like, all right, now, do it. You get there's a halfling man and a dwarven woman, and he's like to the halfling man to you. Rourke's like, get him, do it now. And he goes to the dwarven woman.
I will give them 1d8. I assume they don't need that much. Do they need more? I don't know what they need. I don't know what they look like. I'm not a cleric.
It's perfect. You're fine.
Are they bloodied?
Bachman, shut the fuck up.
You succeed. They are healed. The mayors kind of rush them again like they did Poppy, and they're asking him a million questions about what happened.
I'm jealous.
They don't really have any additional information to share. Same thing Poppy had said. They're just, last thing I remember was like sharp ice, shards of ice and snow and slush kind of raining down on them from all sides. And then they kind of passed out till this moment.
The fact that they were frozen in solid ice, that feels weird, right? Because Poppy, you got that gash in your face. Oh, this sounds like old winter bones.
Cold bones, but yeah. Night passes peacefully. Despite the chill in the air, there's a vibrant hum and an almost electric feel to the day as the crowd gathers around the town square.
Because today's the day, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the first day. There's multiple days. It's the first day. The celebration for the first day is called Brighter Dawn.
Okay.
Cooking fires are kind of rising lazily into the air around the encampments. Around, you hear children up and scurrying. Claude DeMille, you met last night, stands near a large cache of presents, fully clad in the Ice Knight armor. Keeps the helm closed over his face, and he's doing a wave to everyone who walks by. There's dozens of long tables and laden with heaping platters of bacon, sausage, pastries, biscuits, potatoes.
Why would we go back?
Guys, let's just stay here. This sounds awesome.
The mayor's here presence with Josephine and Mayor Shelter and Cedric Sunborn, the mage, all stand near an outdoor bar where Mayor Kaz is pulling drafts of ale from these massive oversized barrels that are like tipped on their side. Even like tipped on their side, they're still like 8 feet tall across on the side. These huge barrels.
It's like 8:45. This place fucking chucks and starts crying. Like, this place fucking rules.
This is my dream. Really? Okay, Chuck.
I am asleep, and this is my surprise party.
You know, Chuck, I did think you were being a fool to say we're in a dream, but maybe we are.
Look at this.
As your group is awake and dressed and is kind of heading toward all this, you pass a group of youths engaging in a snowball fight. One of them, an Elkin boy about 12 years old, playfully tosses a snowball at Screech, and he shouts, "Look out, heroes! The primal hounds have returned. Come back for more!"
Can I bite it out of the air?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, just like, "Hah!"
You do that. He's like, "Oh, that was cool. Hey, are you a dog?"
What? These people are so dumb. This is my dream.
I go over, turn around, and then just back paws, spray snow in his face.
Oh, man, I'm telling my dad. He's like, "Oh, that's funny. All right, I get you." That's, and this boy, "I'm Wyatt. My dad's Cedric."
Pat, can I stealth?
Stealth what? What are you doing?
I'm hiding.
Oh, okay, yes, sure. Go ahead.
I got a 25.
All right, nobody sees Edwin. Nobody knows where Edwin is.
Okay. I'm going to nail this kid from behind with a snowball.
Oh my God.
Okay, do it.
I'll throw a snowball.
Then we should hit him.
I think that would be around a 16.
You nail him. You nail him good. Back of the head, knock him over, falls in the snow. Other kids are laughing at him. He gets up. He first looks like he's like ticked, but then he kind of shakes it off. And his little baby antler like pokes his point. He's like, "Ah, you know what? I deserve that. You got me. I'm Wyatt. My dad said."
I throw another one and I try to hit him in the face.
Okay.
That's a 13.
But he kind of waves his hand when he throw it, and it like gets caught in midair by something unseen ethereal. He's like, "Ha, nice try. Okay. My dad's teaching me some stuff about magic." And he like psychically like sends it back at you.
Your dad does magic like a backwoods circus performer. I've seen people do better pocket magic than your dad can teach you. I want to do vicious mockery, so now he takes disadvantage on his attack rolls to throw snowballs at us.
What, Tim, real quick aside, what is it about my DMing style that makes players want to hurt the children I put in front of them? he's just his lip quivering.
Maybe a little aggressive. I think he's a little young, maybe.
Oh.
We're in a strange land, like...
Okay, yeah.
Like, maybe let's not piss off. Who's your dad again?
Who's your daddy, little boy? You're just a little boy. Your dad can't teach you shit. He did such a bad job at magic.
Is that better, Celine? You said he's little.
Yeah.
He runs off. One of the other kids kind of comes up, and to Rourke is like, "That was cool. He's all right, but, like, sometimes, because his dad is, like, Cedric, the big, like, bad mage, you know? Sometimes he gets annoying."
What's that kid's problem?
It's like, if your dad was, like, a powerful wizard or something, you know?
Oh, his dad's a powerful wizard?
It's illegal to be a wizard.
Is he hot?
Yeah.
Does he have a mom?
Yeah.
Oh, he does. That sucks.
Well, do you think, is Cedric the kind of guy that would, like, I don't know, like, lash out if someone was mean to his child? Or, like, what's his vibe?
Yeah, not us. I mean, if
if Wyatt was me and a jerk face, Cedric could probably be like, quit being a little shit, you know?
Okay. I mean, he was being a little shit. We can all agree on that, right?
I fucking hate that kid.
I thought it was funny.
You're borderline kid.
You're a witness. You're a jury of his peers.
I don't know what that word means.
Plausible deniability.
Well, it sounds like maybe...
This is boring. And the kid just runs. The other kid just like runs away. Like...
I whip a snowball at him.
We all reach the town square. The feasting celebration can begin. Mayor Barleycorn, Kaz, big orcish man. She climbs up onto a small dais, holding this oversized ornamental holiday cane carved from honeybark wood. This deep voice rolls over the crowd. My friends, we have gathered here once again in gratitude and appreciation. Many generations ago, our little corner of the world was saved from calamity when the great Ice Knight, he gestures to Claude in the... And this is the actual armor that the demigod wore, but has kind of just become this, like, ceremonial thing. Sacrificed himself to create the great ice dome that protects us. It's our duty to honor the Ice Knight's memory, but by living life to the fullest and make the most of what we have for caring for our fellows.
Hell yes!
He points to you all and to Valen, who went out and found. He's like, this year is exceptionally special because these fine heroes all help save the celebration from disaster. Now, without further ado, let the festivities begin. And just as he says the word begin, the pile of gifts explodes.
What?
In snow and ice.
Like in a good way?
And dozens upon dozens of small creatures emerge. They look like diminutive snowmen, each about 2 feet tall, eyes of black coal, and like a pair of little icicle tusks sticking out from their bottom lips.
Ooh,
this is so elaborate.
Does everyone else look like... How is everyone else reacting to this?
Freaking
like
the fuck
surprised?
Out. Everyone's freaking out in a bad way. In each of these little snowmen with the little tusks is carrying a hatchet. And at the center of this tiny snowman horde is a 6'6" tall humanoid creature wearing a long trench coat. In one hand, he wields another big honeybark cane like Kaz had. His other hand is not a hand, but a cannon of black iron and silver filigree.
The fuck?
His head is a giant sphere of snow with menacing eyes of red light and a mouth of cold briquettes formed in a wicked grin. Standing before the shocked and terrified crowd is none other than the mythical villain known as Baron Coldbones.
Holy shit.
He points his cannon at the Ice Knight armored Claude de Millenbells. Happy gathering, Ice Knight. Roll initiative, please.
Woo! Is this normal? This is so great. I'm gonna jump in.
An army of tiny snowmen with ice tusks is so good to me.
We're at the gathering and there's hatchet men. This sounds like we're not in Chuck Stream. We're in Rourke Stream. Patrick, I got an 18.
I got a 20.
My initiative is 15.
Bachman probably got like a 25.
Yeah, he a rogue boy.
Mine's an 18.
All right. Enwin or Chuck, y'all got to decide who's...
Enwin, I want you to go first, baby girl.
Oh, thanks. I love going first.
Man, I'm going to blast the hell out of these guys.
I hate these bitches.
Do you want me to just pick something for Screech?
Yeah, Screech just go after us. I mean, he probably is going to roll high, but it doesn't matter. He's probably too busy, like, chasing a stick.
That was a very good Rourke, but Baron Coldbones eked you out on initiative. And he is going to actually focus on Claude DeMille, who's wearing the Ice Knight armor. And he is going to fire a burst of this electric blue energy from the cannon. And he does. And he hits Claude to the chest. And it's like kind of like ice crystals form. And Claude drops to his knees. He's just a guy. He's not meant for this. And he takes, you can see he lets out a very anguished moan of pain. Rourke, it's now your turn.
Okay.
So there's swarms of these little, they're called snow toadies, just spreading out everywhere, terrorizing people left and right.
Okay, I would like to... I think I'm going to try and cast Hypnotic Pattern and see who I can catch. Can I catch a multiple of them in a 30-foot cube?
In a 30-foot cube? Absolutely. You could get... cold bones and two swarms. I'm kind of doing like swarm rules, little clusters, or three swarms without cold bones.
No, let's do cold bones. Let's see if we can hypnotic pattern him. I need him to make a wisdom saving throw.
Okay, I'll roll him first.
For a 15.
I did roll a 17 for cold bones.
Wow, that's rude.
Jesus.
But now I got to roll for the toadies?
Yes.
That's a fail.
Do they count as creatures?
Yeah, they're creatures.
Okay.
It's an elemental swarm.
Okay, so they are charmed. On a failed save, the creature becomes charmed for the duration up to a minute while I'm concentrating upon it. And it has a speed of zero and it is incapacitated.
Okay.
It does, the spell will end if the creature takes damage or if someone else uses an action to shake the creatures from their stupor.
Okay. Is that your turn?
And then I can do this as a bonus action. I'll give Chuck Bardic Inspiration.
D8?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, what I miss? Are we still fighting that kid?
You're dead.
We killed you.
Do you want to roll initiative or do you want me to put you in a random spot?
Just put me in a random spot.
Okay. One of these swarms of snow toadies that was not charmed saw what happened and is going to rush up to Rourke. And you got 10 of these little things coming at you with their little hatchets and they are going to attempt to hack at you. Does a 17 hit you?
It does. Yeah. 13, Pat.
Rourke, I looked up, because I'm also playing a bard, how to get higher AC. Can't do it.
Can't, no.
You take 20 slashing damage.
Fuck you! I mean...
Okay.
Chuck, you see a swarm of these little snow creatures attacking Rourke. You see this cold bones villain shooting these bursts of like freezing magical energy at the clawed and the ice knight armor.
Mm-hmm.
You see two swarms that are kind of standing dazed, like they got like the little swirly spiral things above their heads because they're charmed. There's two of them. And you see another swarm that's just running about terrorizing people.
I put my hand in front of my belly and bow low to Enwin.
You bowed to Enwin?
Because you're going before me.
Oh, right. Okay. So would I have advantage on any of these guys?
I mean, Nika, the ones that are charmed, what happens if someone attacks them? Do they get advantage on them?
I don't know. They break out of it. They're currently incapacitated, so I guess whatever.
Wait, they're incapacitated?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
The attack would have advantage, but it would break them out of the stat state.
Yeah.
That's all fun and good. I'm going to, I pull out a short bow.
Okay.
And I knock an arrow and I fire it at Cold Bones or whatever his name.
Yep.
Is it like a magic arrow or just like a normal arrow?
Nope.
Michael.
This is a normal ass arrow. Wait, are you a fake wizard?
Are you just a guy?
Shut up.
He's a Siegfried and Roy.
Oh my God. I'm going to expose you at the circus when we
give
get
me
back.
Your damn clothes, bitch.
That is. All right. Actions. I know how to play a player. That is, 22 to hit.
Hits, yes.
Oh, you're so fucked. 9 damage.
All right.
Love it.
9 Christmas damage.
Deck this, Hall.
Is that your turn?
That's my turn.
Chuck.
I would like to cast Bane. But this version is a little bit of mistletoes are conjured above.
Ooh.
Let's see. Let's go all out. I'm dreaming, so there's nothing bad that will happen to me. So I can get 6 targets. I want to get, obviously, Ice Bitch on top of, and then 3 more, or I guess 5 more of these spooky little boys. They need to make a charisma saving throw, please.
All right.
I'm casting this at 4th level, because I really want to make you not have fun, Pat.
All right. That's a 17 for Cold Bones.
I hate you.
He had a -1. I rolled an 18.
I love you.
Swarm failed. What happens to them?
Whenever they make a check, they have to roll. You have to roll d4 and subtract that from said check.
Okay.
Okay, that's my turn.
Okay. We're on one of the swarms of snow toadies that's charmed. Nika, can they roll an attempt to be not charmed?
It's until they get damage taken or until I end the spell. So I'm holding that concentration.
Great.
They've got a minute.
Chuck, the thing you did not cause any damage. It's just the disadvantage.
Correct.
Okay. Screech, you are up.
Oh my goodness, am I close enough to Cold Bones?
You could get to him, yeah.
Okay, I want to sneak up behind Cold Bones.
All right.
And I want to knife him. I want to knife him really bad.
Do it.
Does a 19 hit?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. I know I'm going to knife again, so I'm just going to roll that. Does a 16 hit?
Yes.
Ooh, damage rolls are not great. So I just did a bunch of attacks, right? You do, like, I do my attack, and then I add my 2d6 for the sneak attack, and I do another attack. So that's 4d6 total that I rolled, all of them ones.
What the fuck?
No!
So 12?
12 damage.
Hey, man, it's too cold out here. I get it. It's okay, buddy.
This never happens.
Assuming, Screech, that's your turn. Celine, it's your turn.
Yay! All right, well, you know I'm trying to cast a fucking fireball at the main guy. And then whoever's in the radius of it, so be it.
If they die, they die.
I'm going to cast it directly on Baron Coldbones.
Okay.
I'm going to cast directly on Baron Coldbones, and then it is a 20-foot radius sphere out from him.
Okay.
A fireball. That's a dex save.
All right, so Screech, dex save, baby.
Love to.
Oh, wait, Screech is there too? Okay, now that I got it.
No. Too late. It's a one-shot, right. No rules.
Well, sorry, Screech.
10.
I mean, this is why Rourke and I have healing spells. Right?
Okay, good thing you do, because you're definitely getting hit.
It's fine. Wait, were we at full when this adventure started?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
We'd just taken a long rest.
Jennifer, Cold Bones and one swarm fail, another swarm succeed.
Okay. So it's 31 fire damage.
Yo, and these ice guys. Yo, his name's Ice.
And then so for the ones that succeeded, 15 fire damage.
Okay. So Celine, you erupt this fireball and center on it, and it Cold Bones says, this shout of pain. He's still kind of up, but you see like water streaming down his snowy face, and like these like rib, these like almost like dents or indentations, like these like down the side of his face. One whole swarm of these snow toadies erupts.
Nice job.
Fuck yeah.
It just like melts in the steam. And then another one is one of the charmed ones. Half of them burst like into steam.
Yeah.
But the other half are now kind of awake again.
Okay. Because of Celine, you know I gotta try to shove this guy just because I can.
You love to shove.
I would like to try to use my telekinetic shove as a strength save DC.
Against the boss man.
Yeah. And this is like, honestly, this doesn't even do anything. This is just a big dog him.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is showing the boss.
Slane has a bumper sticker that says love to shove.
He got a 15.
He just barely resists. But he feels it. He knows that I sent it his way.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I make eye contact with him directly and I wink at him.
Is that the end of your turn?
Yes.
He's going to respond to that with his legendary actions. And I need all of you to make dexterity saving throws as dozens upon dozens upon dozens of razor sharp like ice stalagmites, icicles shoot up from the ground.
Thank you for the bardic inspiration, Rourke, but I still rolled like shit. 12?
Do I have a d4?
No. Sorry, guy.
If I was like, please. I got a 17.
Better than me, 13.
Better than me, 12.
15.
8.
Ooh.
A dex save on a rogue being an 8? You dumb bitch.
This is the opposite of what would normally happen, I feel.
Yeah, you're a good point.
Everyone except Celine takes 14 piercing damage. And until the end of Coldbone's next turn, the icicles stay up, and the terrain within 30 feet of Coldbone's is considered difficult terrain.
Screech is like, I have 2 HP.
You got exploded by fire, and then like that hurt. I need to cool off. Not like this.
Icy to dull the pain, hot to relax it away.
So still there's a charmed swarm. They haven't been touched. That's their turn. The fourth swarm is going to dogpile on Claude and start hacking at him.
Are they the one that is baned?
No.
So no one's... Is anyone baned? Or the one that's dead baned?
No, there is one that's baned. It was the one that was reduced and cut in half by the fireball. Their number. There were 10 of them. Yeah.
Cool.
Top of the order, Cold Bones is going to try and he's really annoyed to shoot Celine with a cannon.
I did kind of put a target on myself.
Is a dirty, yeah, I assume a dirty 20 hits, yeah.
Yo.
Can I use counterspell?
Yeah.
Maybe. If it's an ability, it might not.
It's a weapon attack.
Okay, so actually...
It's a sword. Get out of here.
And actually, I don't want to anyway, because I... Unfortunately, I kind of used some of my higher level spells when I shouldn't have earlier. Mm-hmm. That was stupid of me.
I should have stopped telling you it was a dream.
Celine, you take 22 cold damage. I need you to make me a con save.
Ah, girl.
Uh-oh.
A con save?
Don't become an ice cube.
Okay. Oh, I rolled so bad. Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's an 11.
Celine is frozen solid.
Ooh, no.
What? Damn it.
Hey, she looks pretty good that way, right? Like, am I right, gang?
Rourke, it's your turn.
So I'm going to cast Aura of Vitality. And so within a 30-foot radius, I can choose people to heal. So Screech gets 2d6 healing this round.
Okay.
And that is my turn.
That's sick. Does somebody else want to roll those d6s?
You can roll them if you want. Oh, if you don't want to, I will. Okay.
Please.
I got a 5 for one and a 2 for the other, sorry. So 7.
That's fine.
Enwin, you're up.
Enwin looks around and goes, fuck it. And then he does cast a spell.
Oh!
What?
He casts Firebolt at the big boy. Oh, yeah, nice. This is a 13 hit. He's big. He's so big. I miss.
This is, dang it. Just lie to me next time.
That's all I can do.
All right, Chuck.
Behind the scenes, I did lose concentration on Bane. Sorry about it. Not that it matters, because they're a swarm and I hate them. But I will do a Bornling Bond, which is my special peace cleric thing. Inwin, Screech, and... Celine, you get to add the D4 to everything.
To what?
Anything, okay. Pretty much.
Nice.
And as a bonus action, Pat, I'm going to use my fancy hobgoblin feature called Fey Gift, which is, as a bonus action, I can use the help action. And when I use the help action, the fella I'm helping gets temporary HP. So... I'm going to give my main bud, my mentee, Screech, advantage on their next attack. Me and you both get 9 temporary HP.
I love that for me.
So, Chuck, you did all that, those shenanigans.
I probably want to move farther away.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hide behind a big old pig with an apple in his mouth.
Screech.
Yeah?
Go.
Is it my turn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm gonna take another swing at old Cold Bones.
Advantage and a D4.
It's okay. Ah, that's an even better roll.
Probably don't need to use the D4 for the advantage.
Yeah, I've already hit that first one because I rolled a 16 plus 7.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that was without the D4, so I'll save it for the second one. Yeah, 21 to hit for the second attack. Okay, so try 30 damage.
That is so much different.
So what's it look like? Paint me a word picture of the apparent death of...
So it's got a snowman head. I'm going to say I'm stabbing in the back of the snowman head, but I'm going so fast that there's friction, and it's not the cutting and the stabbing that kills him. It's the heat from the daggers melting away the snow. Does it reveal... the cranky old man who doesn't like Christmas?
he just melts and drops, and his cloak and his cane and his cannon just kind of drops. And all of the snow toadies that are still there just like immediately melt into water.
Yeah. You're all wet.
That's my dude.
And the magical ice encasing Celine kind of fades. You're still very cold.
I was imagining I'm like soaking wet from being encased in ice.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, my teeth are chattering. I'm like,
I'll come up behind you and put my arm around you and pull you in. Like, there, girl.
And like, Celine would normally be like weird about it, but she's so cold that she actually just like folds her body like into Chuck.
For the next minute, we're out of combat, correct?
Yep.
Okay. For the next minute, I would like to use my aura of vitality. I know that Screech needs healing. Who else needs healing?
I am not at max, so...
I'm down 14 hit points. That's all. I've taken 14.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you only had 14.
Yeah.
I'm at 28 out of 50.
I'll take 2 of the 8 d6.
Okay. Screech, how many hit points do you have?
9 current, 9 temp.
Ouch.
Okay. I will give you 6 of the... 8 2d6, so you have 12d6.
Oh my god,
that you can roll. Celine, you have 6d6, and then Enwood has 2d6.
We're up to 36 plus 9.
I got a ding dang pee.
Oh my god, this guy loves to piss. Shut up.
Go piss, girl.
I'm gonna grab a drink if he's grabbing a piss.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.